Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
It was quite discouraging, there's no doubt about it. And I would say, at least I speak for myself, somewhat unexpected, is even given the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, somewhat unexpected, because the Texas law simply sought to have in abortion clinics the same kind of safeguards, the same kind of precautions and regulations imposed that you would find for any medical clinic anyplace else. But the Supreme Court saw it differently. They said that Texas law was unconstitutional because simply wanted to avoid the very worst of what can happen when a business like an abortion clinic is in it for the money and the patients don't really matter that much. Does anyone remember the name of Kermit Gosnell? Yes. Well, a Texas law would have at least potentially prevented something like what happened there, and the Supreme Court saw it very differently. What does the pro-life movement do post the Supreme Court's ruling on that Texas abortion law? We're going to be talking about that here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 12th. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will be our guest. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time with Joe Grabowski talking about the GOP platform and homosexual marriage. They have been putting those things together in advance of the RNC meeting. We're going to get an update on the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church at Missouri Synod, the goings on both today and yesterday there in Milwaukee. Then we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, the story of Mary and Martha. Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. You can join us with questions or comments over the course of the next hour. Our call-in number is 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line is always open, 618-223-8382. Carol Tobias is a regular guest. She joins us for two issues, the pro-life movement after the Supreme Court's ruling on that Texas abortion law and the Conscience Protection Act. She is president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be on.
What do you say to someone who says, look, if we can't keep a law like this, that Texas law, on the books, and if the Supreme Court's going to knock that one down, reasonable regulations for an abortion clinic, not unlike we would find at any other kind of medical clinic. What's the use? I mean, what's the use of even attempting to chip away at Roe v. Wade?
Well, there's no doubt the abortion industry has a firm hold on the Supreme Court. The court in this case said that it was an undue burden, that the Texas laws created an undue burden because it was too far for some women to travel to have to get an abortion, since so many of the abortion facilities in Texas were closing. But the law was based on language that said this was to protect the health and of women and to make abortion safe. And part of the Supreme Court's reasoning is, abortion is already safe, so what's the point of this law? We are trying to take a different tact. Rather than focusing on whether or not abortion is safe, we want to talk about the humanity of the unborn child, and is it okay to kill a human being? So the legislation that National Right to Life and others have been pushing would say an unborn child who can feel pain cannot be aborted. You can't do the dismemberment abortion procedure on a live unborn child because that is cruel and not in the way that the Constitution would say cruel and unusual punishment, but that's what it is. So we are hoping that if some of these laws can get to the Supreme Court, they will look at it and say, that is kind of a terrible way to kill an innocent little baby. And we're hoping that just the different basis for arguing against abortion may actually have a difference. We think Anthony Kennedy would have switched directions if it had been some other type of law.
Okay. Had the state been smaller? I mean, Texas is geographically a huge state, so the argument was being made that women are going to have to drive enormous differences and going to put some kind of time and resource hardship on them. But had it been Delaware, that you could hardly make that argument there. Had the state been smaller, would the Supreme Court's logic have held up?
I'm not sure it would have been. Now, we do have several states that only have one abortion facility, so some women do have to travel many miles, many hours. But, you know, several laws are in effect in those states, not quite the ones that Texas had with the meeting basic standards and requiring abortionists to have admitting privileges at a local hospital. But there are a lot of places in this country where it's not easy to get an abortion, and I think that's the best thing we can do, and we just keep working to get that all over the country.
What was at stake with the abortion law, and where do we go from here in terms of the pro-life movement, especially as these things inevitably will come to the steps of the Supreme Court?
I think we just keep pushing on. Now, certainly the educational efforts, the pregnancy resource centers, working with the women directly, encouraging people to look at the unborn child as a human being that needs protection. I mean, that all has to take place. But at the same time, we have to be passing laws to protect these babies. We just keep pounding away, and eventually I think we are going to wear down the Supreme Court because we are not going to stop. We keep getting reinforcements from a lot of young people that will keep the battle going. And I think that at some point, I really do believe that Roe v. Wade is going to fall little by little because we don't give up.
What other laws do you envision there having a chance at finally making it past the gauntlet of the Supreme Court?
I would hope that they would be receptive to a law that says a woman considering abortion has to at least have the opportunity to see an ultrasound of her unborn child. We know that that does affect a lot of women, that when they see that baby, they immediately connect with him or her, and they don't want to go through with the abortion. But that is also part of just informed consent. Ultrasounds are so common nowadays. A lot of people put a picture of their unborn child on Facebook or Instagram. You know, they're getting it out there. So a woman who has had an abortion will very likely eventually see an ultrasound. And she should not have to say, "I didn't know. If I had known, I might have done something differently." So I would hope that that is really one that the court would allow, just basic informed consent that a woman has a right to know what's going to happen and before she makes that decision.
The other subject I wanted you to address, Carol, was H.R. 4828, the Conscience Protection Act of 2016. Tell us about it.
In 2004, Congress passed a bill that said you cannot discriminate against someone who objects to abortion on a conscience basis, whether it is a religious belief or conviction or some other reason that they do not want to be involved in the abortion process, whether it is performing the abortion, helping a doctor in a hospital to do the abortion, working in the abortion facility. Some nurses have been threatened with losing their jobs if they don't participate in abortion. It might be a health insurance company that wants to be able to offer plans to churches and organizations that don't like abortion, and the plan would then, of course, just not include abortion as one of the services that are covered. So we've had this law in effect protecting the consciences of people in this country since 2004. 2 years ago, the state of California decided that every health insurance plan sold in the state had to cover abortion. Well, a lot of churches and organizations objected because they did not want abortion in the insurance plan they were providing to employees. So appeals were made to the federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, that the California law was breaking federal laws, you know, it was going against federal law. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Obama administration came out and said that they were reinterpreting the Weldon Amendment, so basically California's law can stand. They are saying that churches and organizations that object to abortion on religious beliefs cannot complain or have, they do not have an official complaint against the California law because they are not health providers or health insurance providers. And then they turn around and say that the health care companies or health providers can't object to abortion on a conscience basis because some of the plans that they do offer does cover abortion. So they're completely reinterpreting the Weldon Amendment. So the House of Representatives this week, probably tomorrow, but maybe Thursday, is going to vote on the Conscience Protection Act to say that nobody can be forced to participate in an abortion. Nobody can be forced to buy a health insurance plan that covers abortion. This is something that we really need passed in the House, and I would encourage people to contact their member of Congress to say vote yes on the Conscience Protection Act.
Can you explain to me why it is that this administration appears time after time to go out of its way in order to target religious organizations or churches or congregations? I'm thinking Little Sisters of the Poor, for heaven's sakes, to go out of their way to target organizations like this on this issue of providing for or providing abortion. It seems to be one of their pet subjects.
I think there is a war on Christianity, and unfortunately it's being waged at many levels of the federal government. Forcing groups and organizations, whether it is religiously based or not, to participate or to in some way be complicit in the killing of unborn children. People are not supposed to have... Well, the government, and I believe President Obama, would be fine if we had our hour in church on Sunday morning. We could talk about God all we wanted, but when we walked out those doors, we are supposed to leave Jesus in the church. And they do not want us taking him out into society. And I think it's a battle that's going on right now, and we are not supposed to allow our convictions to come into public discourse.
Is there, they obviously kind of had their hats handed back to them on Little Sisters of the Poor. Again, a question pertaining to the U.S. Supreme Court. How many times do they, well, to put it bluntly, waste taxpayer dollars taking these attempts to squash conscience freedom or religious freedom to the U.S. Supreme Court?
The abortion industry has such a stranglehold on the Democratic Party and on the Obama administration that they are they're using every opportunity they can find to promote abortion, to push abortion. I'm not quite sure how, but somehow that unborn child became the evil enemy that has to be destroyed. And everything that they do is geared toward making sure that abortion is legal for any reason, and that people have to promote it or participate in it. It's almost kind of mind-boggling, but there is this definite thread of everything that they do has to make sure that abortion is promoted as a common good.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
When we come back, Joe Grabowski is going to join us. We're going to talk about the GOP platform and homosexual marriage. He's director of communications for the National Organization for Marriage. Then we're going to get an update on the 66th convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that is transpiring in Milwaukee as we speak. We'll be right back. Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.